Mini episode 753 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
All right, everybody, it's time to do the dab because we are taking a look at the NFC South.
Something for I never thought I would hear from you.
Yes, exactly. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross, your football talk at FDH Lounge dignitaries. We are previewing the 2016 NFC South, where you have the NFC champions, not the NFL, not the Super Bowl champions. Sorry, Cam Newton, but the Carolina Panthers. Why are you grimacing as I say that?
If there was any reason to be so rude about
it. I'm just going back to his rudeness and poor sportsmanship post-Super Bowl.
You know, I remember some real poor sportsmanship from one of last year's two quarterbacks when he went around Knoxville teabagging poor college women in the 90s, allegedly.
That may or may not have been Cam Newton of the two. We'll let you know. We'll get back to you on that.
In the 90s, that's just foul, man.
Yeah. Did it progress into any Roman war helmet behavior?
Should have never brought it up.
You probably shouldn't have. But anyways, getting this back to a slightly less X-rated place here, our breakdown of the NFC South. And, again, Carolina, you and I were talking about this off-air.
The most obvious candidate in the league to regress. I think both Super Bowl teams from last year are the most obvious candidates to regress. But Carolina, a little more so in terms of wins and losses, simply because they went 15-1 a year ago.
That's right.
You're not going to duplicate that record.
That's right.
Even you know, I actually have them make, unlike Denver, who I don't even have making the playoffs this year, and you
right.
didn't either, right?
That's right.
Okay. I do think Carolina, although they're more obvious to regress than Denver, will actually still make the playoffs just because of some research I did. But if you'd like to start with the Panthers, that would be just fine by me.
That's fine. And you and I got them coming out in about the same place. And from what you said, the historical record kind of backs up where we got them. I got them at 10-6, winning the division, as do you, I believe. And again, as you have indicated off air to me, that's the sort of historical norm, is that that's where teams go to. The floor really can't be too much further than that, barring, I mean, if there's an epidemic of injuries, if Cam Newton
goes down and
Luke Kuechly and a bunch of these guys go down for long stretches, then yeah, the floor is lower than 10 wins, obviously. But all things being equal, which is how we tend to look at these things here, again, they're one of the safest plays in the league as far as picking a record, as far as being in there. I don't know where Vegas has got them pegged at. But
10.5. That's a good number because it's going to be 10 or 11 wins.
It is. I mean, it almost seems like a lock that that's where it's going to come out.
Well, they can't win 10.5 games. That's impossible.
Well, what if they're with 10 wins and a tie?
That's under.
Oh.
You can't have half a win. You can have a tie, but you can't have
But
half
in the
a
winning
win.
Percentage, it's half a win.
It doesn't matter.
Oh,
you
okay.
To cash that bet, they have to have more. They have to have at least 11 wins to win that bet.
You learn something new every day.
Yes,
all right.
Vegas
so.
Is the one that's stupid.
Okay. So,
according to you.
Yes. When you look at this, it's one of these things, too, in terms of picking them to win the division. All right. So they're coming back to the pack. You and I are saying by a factor of 5 wins, but still not being a bad team, just because, again, is there a team in the history of the league that would – maybe the 89-49ers, but, I mean, almost every team in the history of the league, it's 15-1, is overinflated. They had things go their way. They've outshot their Pythagorean norms.
I don't think anyone in league history has had a Pythagorean expectation of 15 wins. I mean,
right.
even the 2007 Patriots were – I should have it offhand. But
that was like 13-ish, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I think it was.
It's a thing where, as you're looking at it, we're saying shave 5 wins off of there, but we, not even necessarily being a substantially worse team, a team that we expect to make the playoffs, potentially make some noise in the playoffs, a team that's getting Kelvin Benjamin back.
That's key. Kelvin Benjamin, remember.
To the offense, yeah.
Cam Newton won that MVP with nothing.
Yes.
Man.
Ted Ginn having an unforeseen late career resurgence. Greg Olsen, kind of likewise here, really kind of stepping up to near Gronk territory a lot of the time. So, but those are things where you wonder how sustainable that they are. You add Benjamin to this offense here along with Devin Funches, things get a little bit better in that regard. Jonathan Stewart, as a lot of us expected, without them having the crutch of D'Angelo Williams there, and again, notice that D'Angelo Williams, when he was starting in Pittsburgh, it was the same thing. That Carolina, somehow or another, when these guys were kept fresher by rotating constantly with one another, never managed to get as much out of them. And Stewart, again, could be primed for another good year because, again, his chronological age, there's not as much in the way of city miles on him from all those years of splitting carries with Williams. So I'm not looking at how Carolina is going to play substantially at all and saying I expect them to be that much worse, but just things evening out more or less. That's how you get five less wins, and that's how you get them in there. But even with them coming back to the pack, this is another thing we agree on. They're not coming back to the pack enough for anybody to catch them because I don't see anybody else having 10 wins in this division. I think Atlanta is going to continue their resurgence under Dan Quinn, but not to the extent of being able to catch Carolina yet.
So no team that has ever won 15 or more games in a regular season has gone on to lose more than six the next year. So the floor is 10 wins for Carolina.
Right.
So we're kind of picking at the floor. Now, you suggested some things that could work against them this year just a moment ago. They were 8-2 in close games last year.
Right.
They played, according to Football Outsiders, the easiest schedule in the league. That jumps to 12th this year. They were 10th in yards per game, but first in points per game last year. That's a big one.
It's funny about
I'm
how...
I'm looking up that Patriots-Pythagorean win expectation,
Football Outsiders is... They're using different methodology than FDH, but they're coming out in the same place on a lot of the stuff here because, according to the FDH power rankings...
Yeah,
a year
I remember
ago,
that was a big thing
they
you
had
talked
the worst,
about last year.
Yeah, they had the worst strength of schedule. I talked about that going into the playoffs. I thought they had a glass jaw. It's one of the reasons I didn't pick them to make it to the Super Bowl. Having said that, when they made it to the Super Bowl... It did play something of a part in this year, having the easiest regular schedule, regular season schedule in the league. Denver having the ninth hardest regular season schedule. I think that did sort of play a part when they played one another. For Carolina, on the impressiveness of victories index for FDH, keep in mind this is half based on strength, you know, our strength of schedule, half based on the number of wins you had. So with 15 wins out of 16, they were darn near perfect on 50% of this thing. They were the worst in the league on the other half of it. They only came out to 11th overall. So impressiveness of victories index, 15 victories, and you only come out 11th. That kind of shows you that.
It was 13.8.
Okay, 13.8 for New England the year that they went 16-0. So that, yeah.
So, there's always good fortune if you're winning 15 games.
So, this is the rare instance where you and I can look at a team, pick them to win five less games than a year ago, and say, substantively and to the naked eye, they're not going to be that much worse than they were
they
a year ago.
They just had a little bit of luck.
And that walk, the pendulum is going to swing the other way for them, and that's going to drop them down to 10 wins. And, again, put them in good shape right there. Potentially that 10 wins could get you home field advantage. All right. Well, I'm sorry, at least a bye week and home field the second round.
10 wins ain't going to get you a bye.
Well, spoiler alert, I think it's not going to. I got them penciled in as the third seed.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah. But you're in the conversation for it. Stranger things have happened. But I got them at...
They lose a lot defensively. We need to mention that. They lose a lot defensively.
Yeah.
Josh Norman, most notable among them.
That was a... I'll tell you what. For as shocking as his sudden emergence was to being an all-world player,
It's funny that I don't think it's a great signing for Washington, though.
It may not be. It may not be. But, again, the moves Washington's been making over the last year or two, I sort of give them the benefit of the doubt, which I never thought I'd say about a Dan Snyder-owned team. But the Redskins have gotten to the point, to me, of getting the benefit of the doubt. But you're right about that. Norman is a big loss for Carolina. Because this is not a secondary that was completely well-rounded a year ago, particularly you get into the playoffs. Injuries were playing a role there. So you're right about that. Carolina's not going to be completely the same across the board. Having said that, they didn't get full health from start to finish out of Luke Kuechly last year, and he's one of the biggest difference makers in the league. So improved health from him will offset an awful lot.
7-1 on the road the Panthers went. The only other team that did that was Arizona.
They're like the anti-Chicago. They will come back to the pack with their road success.
So I think we can both agree Carolina falls to the tenor. Almost every team that won 15 games or more the previous year falls to 10 or 11. The average win total of those teams is 11.2. So and this team, I think, compared to, like, if you look back, like 89 Niners, 85 Bears, other teams, it actually wasn't the 89 Niners that went 15-1. It was the 84 Niners that did it. That 89 team, I believe, was 14-2.
Yeah.
But this team, I think, more so than some of the other 15-1s, has clearer signs of regression.
Well, it does. It does have that. But this is one of these things where, as you've said, it's such a clear pattern of teams going back to 10 or 11 wins that Vegas setting the number at 10.5.
That's a great number.
It is a great number. And what I was going to say is I bet that even if there was a flood of early money coming in either way, and knowing the mouth breathers in the public, they were probably loading up on the over. But I'm going to guess Vegas was probably very reluctant to move it off of that because they know what a great number it is, even if it's not 50-50.
Yeah, they don't like to move those. They don't like to move those win totals.
Right.
Remember when we first started doing this show, we always talked about how no team had ever repeated in the NFC South.
Right.
Panthers have won it 3 years in a row now.
And no team's ever gone 15-1 before in the NFC North, I don't believe. So.
NFC South.
Or NFC South, yeah. So
they would be, if they win it again this year, as we're projecting, they'd be just the eighth team since division realignment in 2002 to win their division 4 straight years.
Okay.
So it doesn't happen often. But another thing, and I think this is a theme for you too, the competition isn't there.
No.
There's one team, and we'll do them next, Atlanta, that could challenge them, but I think you said it earlier. I don't see Atlanta as a 10 or 11 win team.
They're sort of the consensus next team of the bunch. That's how you and I have them. I got them at 8-8 this year, which would mean that they would be in the wild card hunt a good chunk of the way. I think they could be playing some meaningful football yet in December. But not necessarily for the divisional title because, I've got
what's
Carolina.
What's interesting is I think maybe if they do improve a little bit more and they steal the division from, maybe they can get to 10 wins and they.
Possible.
Even then, though, I think 10 wins get you a wild card in this conference. So maybe that's. I have a hard time with Atlanta thinking they'll be as bad as they were last year.
Right.
And keep in mind they were 5-0 at one point, and then the wheels fell off.
They were.
But Matt Ryan threw a lot of ill-timed interceptions. They were actually 10th in yards per game differential last year, Atlanta.
Well,
that was higher than Cincinnati.
You and I both saw early on, if I'm remembering correctly, on the week-by-week shows, that Atlanta was a very lucky 5-0 early.
Oh, yeah. No one believed it. They were a bad 5-0 team, and we all knew regression was coming. But remember that schedule we marveled at?
Yeah.
We're like, oh, my God, the schedule's so easy. This team... I think there was a point early on in the week-to-week shows that we do, we were like, oh, I think Atlanta's got home field advantage.
Yeah.
And then they just, the wheels completely fall off. They blew it, too. They went, this is like the opposite of the NFC North. They had, according to Football Outsiders, the 30th rated schedule last year. So third easiest.
Okay.
This year they're up to fifth.
Yeah.
And I think that stunts the growth a little bit in their ability to catch Carolina. Carolina went from the easiest schedule to 12th. So for some reason, Atlanta's schedule projected harder than Carolina's, even though Carolina's the team playing the first place schedule. Well, I just think Ryan takes better care of the football. Dan Quinn keeps the defense going. The defense was only 22nd last year.
And that's where I expect the continued growth.
Okay.
I think you're gonna continue to see that under Dan Quinn. Atlanta with and they were
the offense has got to be better, right?
Yeah, it's got to be better. Albeit again, FDH had Atlanta with the fifth easiest schedule a year ago, so
it was, again, close.
Yeah,
third, fifth. Yeah,
yeah. So
with the, I think you just this is a moderate. They were 8-8 last year, -6 point differential, 4-4 at home only, 4-4 on the road, 1-5 in the division. I would expect that to pick up.
That will pick up, and again, when I look at Atlanta, the main thing that comes to my mind is tougher schedule this year, expect continued improvement, particularly defensively. That's why that, you know, 8-8, that's basically more or less a wash. That's
yeah,
where
so
I expect Atlanta
record,
to be.
Huh?
Yeah, I mean, they will get better in some ways, but that's going to get eaten up by the increase in the strength of schedule difficulty.
See, I'll be honest with you. Vegas has the win total at 7.5, and there's juice on the under, -146. I don't see this team being worse than they were last year. I don't think it's going to be a runaway winner, but over 7.5.
That's why they got juice on the under. They're trying to entice you to something that doesn't look good.
No, the juice is you have to pay the premium. The money, more people are clearly betting under.
More people
are clearly betting the under here.
Okay.
They're trying to discourage you from betting the under.
Yeah.
Look at over 7.5 with a return of +125. That's not a bad deal.
I wouldn't want to play the under. I just.
What about the, I mean, over 7.5, you have a chance to get more, win more back than you bet?
I only got them a half game above it, but I think they're more likely to be over
I've got them at 9-7.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, they're more likely to be that than 7-9. You're right.
They were not a good team in DVOA, though, last year. 26. That scares me.
Okay.
This is not a good team. And they need to learn to get to the quarterback. That's the big puzzle that Quinn needs to solve. Because this is a team that traditionally, year in, year out, ranks near the bottom of
right.
the sacks.
So there's two other teams.
I think they fall short ultimately of a wild card, right?
I think they're in
the mix at 9-7. Hey, you're a Rick Morris tiebreaker. I've got them tied with Dallas.
Yeah.
And Minnesota at 9-7, but not making it.
I got them at 8-8. I got them in the mix until very, very late in the season. The two teams that you and I would say have little to no chance of winning the division.
Yeah,
Which do you want to go with next?
Tampa Bay.
All right,
I was wrong on them last year. Remember, I picked them. Did I pick them to win the division last year?
You might have.
I did. I said they were. I said they would be a weak. No, I didn't. I had them making a wild card. I had Atlanta winning the division last year.
Okay,
shows what I know. I whiffed twice in Carolina.
I think I had Atlanta winning the division.
Yeah, Tampa Bay was a team that I thought was going to improve. They were my most improved team in the league next year. They were my choice. That's San Diego this year.
Mm-hmm.
They did go from 2-6 wins. Do you know this about Tampa Bay? They were 7th in the league in yards per game differential. They outgained 12 of 16 opponents.
Wow.
Do you know, when I look at this, I think it was 12 of 16. Let me bring up their last game because I don't have this here. But regardless, let me tell you the teams that outgained their opponent, that outgained at least 11 opponents last year. Denver, Arizona, Carolina. That's it.
Okay.
So,
wow, good company to be in.
Yeah, I think this team kind of blew an opportunity. We talk about the plexiglass principle. They went from 2-6. New head coach this year. They 86 Lovie Smith anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If they do decline, it wouldn't be by much. I see this clearly as a 5 or 6 win team. There's still holes. They've got that Stars and Scrubs thing going too.
I got them at 6. I'm feeling the Stars and Scrubs thing a little bit less than you do. I find it to be an interesting, youngish roster. They got some guys that I think like Mike Evans.
7.5 from Vegas seems a little high. I do not see any way they win 8.
I think they could. I got them at 6-10, but I'm kind of queasy about that. The odd thing is I got them 6-10, and I kind of like them a little more than Detroit and Philly, who I got at 7-9. So I can change my mind through the course of an off-season.
I don't like them to win more than last year.
The one thing that scares me about them, because otherwise, look, they're a team where I would say they got enough going for them. I wouldn't rule out that they could be in the conversation for a wild card.
I don't think that at all. I was a guy who liked them last year.
If not for this. What scares me is, and they're like this. They've been like this many times that you and I have done the show in the last 5 years or so here. You go into a season, and it seems like there's a lot, more than most teams, there's a lot of different scenarios that could play out. It's hard to, you know, they're the whole, you know, trying to drink coffee with a fork kind of a thing, pinning down for sure what they're going to do. You and I called it. We told everybody with certitude exactly what you're going to get out of the Carolina Panthers this year. Tampa Bay, to me, is the opposite of that. And the thing that I've noticed is this. When you and I have talked about teams before, typically I think this has happened more so when you have said this is the most volatile, could-go-either-way team. Particularly when you've said it. That team has bottomed out, won like two or three games. Mm-hmm. That's what scares me about Tampa Bay. Now, like I said, it's me that has that feeling and not you.
Yeah, to me, those teams are Indianapolis and Detroit this year for their respective conferences.
Okay. So it could get pretty fugly
in
those circumstances.
For me, the kind of thing is with me, when I'm real high on a team, like I was with Tampa last year, I thought it was going to be a best-case scenario, I tend to cool off on them the next year because, you know, not to toot my own horn, but more often than not, they get that expected improvement. I just think Tampa Bay is really going to be kicking themselves for not improving as much as they should have in 2015.
Okay.
Because the numbers suggested this team should have improved more than they did, and they did not outgain Carolina in the last week of the year.
23rd on the FDH strength of schedule last year, so that was an opportunity.
Football Outsiders had them even worse. They had them 31st.
Wow.
This year it jumps up to 6th. So this is a division unlike the North where, you know, everyone, it seemed the schedule's getting much harder here.
And that's the thing. When I say all things being equal, I might consider them in a best-case scenario a team in contention for a wild card.
I lied.
But that's why I got them at 6-10, I guess. And
I'm going to go 6-10,
here,
too.
I'm sitting here speculating about my own state of mind because I tend to kind of form my thoughts a little bit earlier in the offseason, and it puts me at the disadvantage of doing an August show, and people have probably picked up on this a few times where I'm sitting there going, okay, what was my thought process again? Because I'm a little confused as to why I got them there. But at Tampa Bay, I think it's just...
Is that how our listeners sound?
That's how I sound in my own head when I'm trying to figure something out. So that's how I came to 6-10, because on that vast, almost infinite spectrum of possibilities for Tampa Bay, good or bad in my mind, 6-10 to me represents the epicenter of that spectrum.
See, I don't have a wide range for them at all. I think their range is pretty tight.
My range goes from like 2 to 9, which is wider than most teams.
I could not see anywhere near that bottom or anywhere near that top.
Well,
here's
they don't have the talent to be 2-14, but like I said, it's happened enough times on this show to where it's got to be more than a coincidence. That, again, typically it's more so when you say somebody has a wide range. But whenever it gets said, it's seemingly that team hits the worst possible end of it. So, no, under normal circumstances, I don't see Tampa Bay winning two games. But just the fact that I don't have a feel for them, that shows me that they could have a low four.
So you don't have a good feel.
Yeah.
Here's something that's emblematic of Tampa Bay's season. So the last week of the year, this is what I went to look up, they lost 38-10 to Carolina. They actually outgained Carolina in that game 386-366. So they outgained 12 of their 16 regular season opponents. Now, that's not an end-all, be-all. Remember, a lot, you know, teams can fall down, and then they can rack up a lot of yards in the fourth quarter, and that's misleading. But, you know, the fact that they were 7th in yard-per-game differential really shocked me. I mean, the only teams higher than them were Seattle, Arizona, Denver, the Jets is a bit of a surprise, Carolina, and Houston.
I'm desensitized, though, because, again...
And Jameis Winston's rookie year, I got his numbers right here in front of me, compared to Andrew Luck. Very similar rookie years.
But in all the years of us doing this, Tampa Bay has been more prone than most teams in the league to put up inexplicable statistics. That's almost been like their trademark of the last 5 years.
No, like I said, I just think that they should have improved more.
Right.
And I don't think I don't think that those numbers are a sign of things
going
to come.
Going back to when Cousin Raheem was the head coach, they had what was it, that very inexplicable losing streak that they had, right? I mean, Tampa Bay just has odd they're the team that plays under a full moon seemingly more than any other team in the league.
Got to give one shout-out to Football Outsiders here.
Okay.
I love this little byline they have written for the Bucks 2016 season. With all these Smiths, the only appropriate question is how soon is now? That is outstanding. As a child of the 80s, I thought you may appreciate it.
Very good. Very good, Brian's cousin, Brian's friend Vinny. Very good.
I wonder if that was Brian's friend. No, it was not.
It wasn't?
Him. Well,
okay.
I don't know if Rivers McCown wrote. I don't know. That would be a collaborative effort on those bylines.
Could very well be.
Vinny V did not write the Tampa Bay chapter.
So process of elimination, the other worst team in the
this
division.
This is the team that's got, I think, the lowest floor.
It does.
This
it
is
does.
A team that I think it could get bad. You talk about teams that it could get bad, it's this one.
This is a team where in a state with LSU, Louisiana, Lafayette, whatever, may have only the third or best defense out of all these teams this year, that being the New Orleans Saints. I got them at 6-10, and that is based purely on a level of respect for, I think, on the offensive side of the ball. I've been saying this for years.
Yeah, but that offense ain't going to be able to bail out this defense like they
used
to.
No. But that's what I'm saying. I mean, they're like, here's what's funny. You talked about that 51-48 game before with the Giants when we were doing the NFC East. They're in my mind a poor man's Giants team when you look at both the offensive capabilities and the defensive side of the ball. That's even, you know, a bigger abortion than what the Giants have on that side of the ball. They're like a poor man's version of the Giants to me, basically. And again, I've been saying this for a long time now. But while a lot of other honks out there were clinging to the notion of OMG, the Saints are still an upper echelon team, I've been saying that the sun has been setting on this franchise for the better part of these last 5 years. I've been saying that.
I don't know if you've been saying it. I know you've been critical of them.
Critical of them. And the thing of it is, too, and one of the things is, we talk about this with different teams of the league, stars and scrubs. That's very clearly the case there. And part of it is you've got the salaries going to guys like Bird in the secondary there that are very, very, you know, widely inflated. But part of it, too, the sort of Kobe-esque kind of selfishness of a Drew Brees, I'm going to get mine. And that's what leads to the team having cap problems, being cap strapped, stars and scrubs. Most of the stars have tended to be on the offensive side of the ball. What's very, very interesting is if this team bottoms out a year from now, or if they really, really bottom out, I should say this year, they could be in position a year from now for Leonard Fournette. That would be very, very interesting. Take the local football star from college to plug in there in the backfield. That's not going to do anything to shore up the defense aside from helping to even out the time of possession a little bit here. And the best defense is a good offense as far as, you know, keeping the defense off the field a little bit more. It won't do much to help out. It just could be a point of intrigue for them. But, again, poor man's Giants. That's my quick summary of the team here. Because Breeze is sort of like an older version of what Eli Manning is at this point. Receivers aren't as good.
The 10 worst defenses since 1989, according to Football Outsiders.
I'm going to say 3.5 as the over-under for Rob Ryan defenses out of that bunch.
I don't know about that, but I do know that the Saints were the worst ever last year.
Okay.
There is usually an improvement there. But I think that improvement only comes so much and is offset by the fact that the offense just isn't as good as it used to be.
And there's always an improvement when you get rid of Rob Ryan, yeah. So there's that.
I just feel that this kind of feels like the last ride, to quote Ray Lewis, of Drew Brees and Sean Payton. You know, doesn't it just feel like...
Could be.
It's just kind of got over. Like this program that they've had, and my hat's off to it. This has been the most successful period in New Orleans Saints franchise history. It's clearly peaked long ago, and it's probably close to reaching against the New York. I think them in Tampa Bay, you're looking at 5-6 win teams.
Yeah.
Vegas, I guarantee, has it too high. Because I think people are – the Vegas has got it at 7. I'd be – and with the over at 150, while you can get under 7 here at plus 128.
Yeah.
I would be stunned if the Saints went 8-8.
But when I talk about how the national media and ESPN and whatever makes people dumber, one of the core cases that I always have for that is New Orleans. Because for as long as I've been banging the drum of this is a team in decline, whatever, you know, the knuckle draggers out there, OMG, the Saints, they won the Super Bowl as recently as 2009. People get sort of hypnotized by the offense
Drew
Brees and
I agree.
Whatever.
The
public always inflates
them. I would agree that the public at large probably is not that clued in to how bad this team is.
I would agree.
I don't
with
think
that.
They're high on them this year, though. I think the public view of the Saints this year is like, yeah, okay, their time has passed. They're probably gonna be like 500-ish. I think they're gonna be one of the worst teams in the NFC.
Yeah.
Their schedule, like the rest of the division, gets harder this year.
Well, and to go full circle on the division, doesn't that posit Cam Newton? Doesn't that position him in the division as the Styles to Drew Brees' Cena, your time is up, my time is now?
Jesus Christ, these obscure wrestling references that no one's going to get.
There'll be a few people.
I'm surprised that Peyton stuck around. Thoughts?
I am too. And
they were 7-9, but outscored by 68 points last year for frame of reference, the Lions were 7-9. They were minus 42. The Eagles were minus 53. The Raiders were minus 40. And, you know, you had an 8-8 Bills team was plus 20. So this was kind of like the weakest of the – and the Rams were 7-19. They were minus 50. So this was the weakest of the 7-9 teams. They're trending – while I think the Bucs plateau, the Saints, I think, are clearly going down.
There's one team in this division that is the grand exception to the rule in the recent history of the NFL. But just the fact that there is – just one exception that you can find, it shows you how strong the rule is, and that would be Ron Rivera in Carolina. Almost any time the coach has 1 foot, 1.5 feet, whatever, out the door, whether it be going to leave, going to get fired, whatever, you never come back from that. It never gets better than that. Mm-hmm. When's the last time it's ever been, we're one more ride, we're going to mount up for one more ride? No, it's over.
There's only one time it's worked.
When?
Ray Lewis. I told my teammates today, it's going to be my last ride. What an emotional promo.
You got to be happy for a guy who's got one Super Bowl ring for every murder he's committed, right? Allegedly.
You know, I really rooted for Ray Lewis and how he really turned Michael Phelps around. How about that? How Michael
Birds
Phelps,
of a feather, right?
Michael Phelps turned to the Ray Lewis Book of the Month Club.
Well,
what a touching tribute that was put together by Bob Costas.
There's two people who deserve one another.
I like Michael Phelps. You probably like Ryan Lochte.
No, I'm not a fan of either of those douches, to be perfectly honest with you.
Oh.
But, no, I'm just not. But if we're going to look at it here in a larger, more, I don't know if you'd even call it to sort of metaphysical kind of a sense here, but in terms of the destiny of a franchise and everything like that, you had Sean Payton coming in and Drew Brees coming in with the right in the horrific aftermath of Hurricane Katrina there, and then buttressed again this summer by these horrific floods that they've had. Will we look back at some
first
point?
Of all, let's extend our condolences to these people.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. I want to make sure.
I'm not glossing over that. Condolences and best wishes and everything like that. But I'm just saying we may look back and the history of the Saints franchise is this glory area between the two floods, historically speaking, Kyle Ross. I was making a grand historical arc kind of a point there. Do you agree with me?
It was okay.
don't break your arm putting me over here, pal.
I actually just recalled something of mine. I need to get better organized for this. I suck. I just noticed something that I should have brought up. Like the Vikings, another reason they're going to regress.
Okay.
Nothing like bringing up the Minnesota Vikings in our NFC South
preview. Am I supposed to splice this back into our North preview? I mean, I'm too lazy, but go ahead.
They were the best spread team in the league last year, another sign of regression.
That's
something I should bring up. I've been very poorly organized. I apologize to the listeners.
We always say on the FDH Lounge, nothing is off topic, so it's very fitting that we conclude our 2016 NFC South preview with that very useful nugget about the Minnesota Vikings. You're welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.